My youngest grandchild insisted on coming to hear me preach today. She's over here. Lily is about 4 months old, and you'll probably hear her at some point during the service. And no, she did not insist on coming to hear me preach. Today, we're focused on our Bibles, God's holy word. I believe in God's word. There's a scripture verse in Psalms 119 that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Bibles are not to look good in your home on the coffee table or to line up on your shelves or sit on the dash of your car. They are to help you navigate life. Because I'm telling you, life has some potholes in it and some bridges out and some people out to get you. As I was preparing this message, I came across a video I want to share with you this morning. It's produced by a family. They've got a couple of their daughters are singing it. I just fell in love with it. And it's simply, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Guys, that was just a sweet video, wasn't it? And yet, the message of that video, how simple. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." Because you see, life is not simple. Life is complicated. There are people in it that seem to want to just mess up our lives. And then on top of that, some of our decisions really complicate things. And we're trying to navigate life so that in the end, we find success. God gave us a book that we might know how to navigate life, how to handle conflicts when they arise, how to handle money, how to have a strong marriage, how to raise your children, how to deal with problems on the job. It's all in here. But before we actually get into the specifics, I want to talk to you about this being the Word of God and why you can trust it. The first point in our sermon today is very simple. His Word is our guide. If you look at this passage, it simply says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy Word. God has revealed himself to us in three ways. And of course, we all know what they are. He first of all revealed himself in his creation. Paul says that we can see and are without excuse when we marvel at his creation. God revealed himself through his creation. And then when Jesus came, he told Thomas, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." God revealed himself through his Son. But the book that we carry with us is God's written revelation to us. It's how God reveals himself to us. And he gives us advice about walking in this life and dealing in this life and not getting messed up and tripped up. I want to give you four quick things before we actually talk about how it's our guide. First of all, his word is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction." All scripture is given by God. It is what we call God breathed. God inspired humans to write. And what they wrote was what he breathed into their life. They wrote what he was telling them to write. Now, it was in their own personality, in their own temperament, but all Scripture is inspired by God. He worked through humans. If you sit and read the epistles, does it take long to find out that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John wrote differently because they were different? If you go look at some of Paul's epistles, the man was deep. There are sometimes you take just a couple of his verses and you read those verses and you're like, wow, I need to back up and read again. James, on the other hand, was very simple and straightforward. But yet they're all God-breathed. And he had, for me and for you. Second thing, his word is reliable. The Bible is still the number one selling book in the world. If you took the next 10 and piled them up, it would not compare to the sales of the Bible for those people who want to know how to live. A couple of weeks ago, we had here a Gideon who spoke about their ministry. The Gideons give away about 2 Bibles every second. That's how fast they're going out. And there are people just clamoring for them. I need God's Word. I need God's Word. Now, there are those who've tried to crush it. Started with the Romans. When they begin to deal with these Christians and they found out they were looking at these gospels and epistles, they tried to wipe them out and burn them all, but couldn't do it. Communists tried. And today it would almost seem like our own government has conspired to get the Bible out of schools, out of government, out of our everyday life. Couldn't do it. The Bible is reliable. The 1947. Anybody here Mr. Davis, weren't you born in about 47 or The greatest archaeological find in this century occurred in 1947, just north of the Dead Sea in the desert. There were some young shepherd boys tending goats. One of their goats, they couldn't find it. And there were actually some holes at the edge of where they were tending at some cliffs. And they supposed maybe one of their goats had fallen in a hole. And they began throwing rocks into these holes to see if they could hear their goat. But what they heard in one was what sounded like the breaking of glass. And they decided to investigate. They let one of them down in the hole, which from the front they found it was actually a cave tucked up under a rock. Going down hoping to find a treasure, as all boys would do, they found instead earthen jars of clay about this tall, filled with leather wrapped scrolls. They didn't know what they had found, so they took 7 of them, pulled them out, took them into town, and sold them to somebody for $150. Come to find out, they had been put there 2,000 years earlier, just before the time of Christ. As soon as archaeologists found out about this find, they just invaded the area and began to excavate these caves and dig. And what they found primarily were copies of the Old Testament books. And I'll tell you why that means a lot to us. They found almost intact a copy of the book of Isaiah. You see, and there are those that would say that through years, the Bible has changed, and that the copiers have changed it, and people to put in their opinion have changed it. But when they took this 2,000-year-old copy in Hebrew of the book of Isaiah and compared it with the book of Isaiah that you have in your Bible, they were virtually identical. And what it means is this: what you read in your Bibles is what God inspired to be written. Understand the Bible. If it's in book form, if you have it on your phone, or hopefully you have it memorized in your heart, is written for you, to guide you. Now, I know there are still some who say, well, I just have trouble believing it. The greatest reason that you should believe the Bible, Jesus believed it. When he was being tempted, three times he quoted the scriptures to get Satan off his back. He said, until our time as we know it ends, nothing would change in the Word of God. So here, as we move forward here in just a second, here's what I want you to understand. God loves you so much that he gave you a guide. A guide to keep you from messing up your life. Anybody ever made stupid decisions? To keep you from making stupid decisions, and then how to get you out of that stupid decision. It's all in the book. And yet so often even Christians ignore it to their own demise. Now I'm fixing to do something. I need to make certain to start off there's nobody here scared of the dark. Are you scared of the dark? If you are, sit next to somebody that can comfort you. I told my granddaughter Evie last night when my brother and I slept together in the same bed for years. It was a double bed or a full-size bed. And both of us had our side. I stay on my side, you stay on your side. But if we got scared for some kind, something happened, saw something scary, we both agreed. If we were scared, we could touch feet. So sometimes, and definitely after we saw King Kong, we touched feet. So if you got somebody, I'm fixing to have my guys in the sound booth turn off lights. And I need to get, by the way, if you've ever been in here in the dark, it's dark. I've come through this door several times to get something on the platform. And it's hard to find these steps. And it's hard to figure out where the steps are and how to walk up them. So, guys, if you could, let's go ahead and drop the lights, okay? All right, that's fine. That's good. We can get by with this. First of all, let me explain to you this. You think you know what life is about, you are walking in the dark. You do not know. Life is difficult. Life is complex. You do not know what lies before you to trip you up and mess you up. So the Bible says that God gives us a light. And what does it say? It's a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, if you've ever been outside at night before, One of the things that you want to see is, where am I putting my feet? If you've ever gone camping or hunting, you understand you need to watch where you walk. There's snakes out there. Nobody wants to step on a snake. There's things out there that can make you fall and trip you up. There are holes that you can step into and sprain your ankle. So that's what is for our feet. Right where we are today, right where we are stepping, is those daily decisions that you didn't think you were going to have to make. It's those things that just come up surprisingly. And how do I take in this problem, this situation, this opportunity? I need to see what it's going to do to me right in front of me. But it also says, let me see if it's brightened for me. It says it is a light unto our path. Here's the problem. If all that you've got is a light for your feet, you can walk straight into a pine tree because nothing has lit your path. You see, God wants to guide you through your daily struggles, everyday decisions. You've had a conflict on the job. You've had an opportunity to buy something you think is a great buy. Should you do it? But God's also concerned with your path. What direction are you going? How are you going to get there? You see, life without a path is like a plane circling that has no destination. So God tells us His Word is a light unto our feet, that every day as we're stepping and walking and going through this life, we see the wise decision to make. And then for those long-term decisions that we've got to make, His light will guide us as we begin to make those. All right, guys, let's get the lights back up. Thank you. Now, our second point is simply this. Guys, let's skip these next two. I want to move on here to my second point. Okay, His Word guides our daily life. One of the things as a pastor I end up doing quite frequently is counseling with people when they've got problems. And I have to say it, half the time the problems are self-inflicted. We make bad decisions, don't we? We make bad decisions. We mess up our finances. We mess up our relationships. We just tend to kind of mess everything up. Because instead of listening to what God wants us to do, we are so bullheaded, we think, well, I know better, don't we? Ever thought that? I know better. Second point again, His Word guides us in our daily life. It is a lamp unto my feet. Let me tell you some problems people have. They have a problem, first of all, with self-worth. I know those people who think way too high of themselves, don't you? They think everything revolves around them. And somehow the sun shines for them. But Jesus taught us, regardless of how great you are, you live in humility. Because though He was equal with God the Father, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the cross. Our walk in life is simple. We are to be humble. And when we get feeling proud and arrogant, God may have to teach us something. Remember out in West Texas a couple of years ago, it was real dry, a drought. Some of the ponds began to dry up. One farm pond had two ducks and a frog in it. Okay? Two ducks and a frog. Are you with me? Okay. The pond dried up, and the duck said, hey, let's fly to another pond. Well, how about our friend the frog? They said, well. And they said, let's do this. Let's get a stick and put it between our bills. And as we fly to a new pond, the frog can open his mouth and just hang on to the stick. Smart ducks. So, sure enough, these ducks find a stick, put it between their bills, the frog latches on, and off they go. They fly over a farm, and the farmer looks up, and the farmer says, wow, that's ingenious. I wonder who thought of that. And the proud frog said, I did. Remember, a haughty spirit comes before a great fall. Have you ever met those people who have such a poor self-esteem that they think they have no value in life? They think nobody cares about them, nobody loves them. Maybe it's something some of you battle with and struggle with. Well, that may be what the enemy is telling you, but it's not what God tells you in His Word. In His Word, He tells you that you are created in His image. That He created you to live for eternity with Him. That He has gifted you with special gifts and ability that nobody else has. That Christ died for you. And that He has a plan for your life. And when the devil and the world beats us down sometimes, we need to let God remind us, in My kingdom you have value because I created you. Finances. Anybody have any money problems ever? Oh, you need to get in the Word of God. Number one financial planning course in the country is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Do you know where he gets his principles from? The Bible. About earning and saving and wise investments. It's all in the book. Anybody ever have any relationship problems? Maybe a spouse, maybe your kids, maybe a neighbor, a brother. God's book tells you how to deal with it. But what we tend to do is, rather than listen to God, we act like we know better. You say, well, God's Word is outdated. No, it's not. You are no different than was Peter or David, Abraham, Moses, Noah. You're no different. We're all the same model. And so therefore, there's no need to change the instruction manual. We're all the same. Women problems, boy, did Solomon have them. Of course, when you've got as many wives and concubines as he did, he should have listened to his own advice, shouldn't he? It's all in the book. Wise decisions when problems arise within our life. The Bible also warns us about traps. That we have an enemy who has laid traps before us to ensnare us and to catch us. And oftentimes we just walk blindly into them without any thought that I need to be careful here. Again, when you're walking through the woods at night, you want to know where you're going. My friend Butch and I, one day we had been out in the woods and we found some bear tracks. No, there weren't any bears in our part of the country, but we just swore up and down, these are bear tracks. We finally figured they were just big dog tracks, but to us they were bear tracks. So I went back to the farmhouse and got a couple shovels. We were going to dig a trap for a bear because we'd seen it on television where they dug a pit for a bear and the bear fell into the pit. So we're going to dig a bear pit. And we dug for maybe 5 minutes, 10, maybe 15 tops, and you know what, it's work. But we got a decent hole in the ground and we covered it up with twigs and leaves, hoping somehow that bear would fall in it. We went back. 2 days after that, my father came in one day very angry. I want to know who dug that blank, blank hole out there in the back pasture. He said, I stepped in that thing and fell down. I don't know, Dad. Don't know. But there are traps laid for you. Solomon gives wonderful advice to a young man. He says, when you're on the wrong side of town and that woman's house is across the street and she stands at the door fetchingly and invites you over, he says, run. He says, her door is the door to hell and you want nothing to do with her. It's a trap. Did you also know that the Bible says we should avoid debt? Because debt is a trap. The Bible says that you are a slave to the person to whom you owe money to. And the Bible says to avoid it. And many of us have learned that the hard way, haven't you? Those credit cards that seem so easy when you swipe them. There's a bill comes at the end of the month. That car that, oh, it just, that new car smell. Oh, yes. There's a payment every month on that car. And granted, that old car that you used to have didn't smell quite as nice, but it got you from point A to point B and allowed you to do some saving for your future. Traps are laid for us everywhere. And if we'll learn God's word and study God's word, we'll be amazed at where it gets us. Let's go to our third point here, guys. His word guides us in planning. It said he is a light unto our path. You have a path when you're thinking. Do you know where you're going? The person who doesn't know where they're going may just end up moving in circles. We have here today, you see, Brandon and Tamara, Kat and Mitch, Christine over here, all within a short time now getting married, okay? Marriage sounds fun. Doesn't it? Doesn't marriage sound fun, Tamara? Marriage sounds fun. There's going to be times he ain't going to be so fun. Am I right? Y'all understand where I'm coming from. And you can't enter it without planning. How are we going to handle the finances? How are we going to be where we want to be one day? Maybe we have today deny us some things our friends have, that one day we may have what we think we need. We need to make certain that we're in church every Sunday to learn how to have a good marriage and a strong marriage. Planning, thinking ahead, looking ahead. He gave us a guidebook to take us through life and take us through the situations that arise within our life. And if you're not going through a struggle today, just give it a couple of days. It will arise. You need to have the book, know the book, obey the book, and walk by the book, because it's there for you to guide you from making, again, those foolish decisions that are going to mess you up and trip up your life. God wants you to be successful because you're His child. Now, if you have messed up, He will forgive and He will restore, and He'll chart you a new path toward where you need to be. But it's a decision that we have to make. And you've got to know God's word to do it. Sunday school teacher became curious one day about what these new kids coming up into her Sunday school class knew. And she told the pastor, "I'm going to give my kids a test today to see how much of the Bible that they know and understand. I wonder if you would come in there with me." And he said, "Sure." So the pastor walked in there, and she asked a few questions. And one of the questions that she asked was, "Who broke down the walls of Jericho?" And you do, all of you do know what Jericho was. Okay. "Who broke down the walls of Jericho?" One by one, the students began to say, "Not me, not me. I wasn't around those walls." And it concerned the pastor. These kids didn't know what it meant. You broke down the walls of Jericho. So the pastor at the board meeting that next Sunday, to kind of point the board that they might need to make some changes in their teaching, he said, "I was in the class with some junior boys, and the teacher asked them, 'Who broke down the walls of Jericho?' And they all denied they did it." And the board sat there. And then one of the board members spoke up and said, "Pastor, I think we should just take the funds and build back those walls and not be concerned about what kid tore them down." Our ignorance of the Bible is alarming. Let me take you back and ask you, do you know the name Josiah? How many of you know the name King Josiah? Oh my, this is scary. All right. Josiah was a king in Israel. He took the throne at 8 years of age. Do we have any 8-year-olds in here, or are they all up? Not people who act eight. 8 year old. At 8 years of age, Josiah became king and sat on his father's throne in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he did everything that God wanted him to do. He was a good king. It wasn't about him. It was about the people. He was a good king. But 18 years into his reign, that would make him what, 26? We have any people here? 26? Troy's 26. Any other? Okay. At the age of 26, he told some of his servants, "Go to the temple." The temple had been pretty much torn down and ransacked and wasn't being used at this point. "Go into the temple. We're trying to bring some funds in to restore the temple." He sent his servants out to the temple to begin some restoration work. They come back and they said, Oh, King, you can't believe what we found. You won't believe what we found in the temple." And they pulled out scrolls. "We have found the law of God." They hadn't had it in a couple of 100 years. "We have found the law." And Josiah said, read it to me. And they began to read the law to King Josiah. And as they began to read to King Josiah, he ripped his clothes and repented of the sins in his life. Because he kept hearing of what he ought to have been doing, and he wasn't doing enough. And it began to transform his life as he began to hear the Word of God. And he said, I know what we need to do now. He said, gather the people. Bring in the tribes and the leaders of the tribes. And he had them stand, and they stood and read from the law. He said, if we're going to be a people of God, we need to live like a people of God. He said, if you've got some false idols in your homes, and many of them did, he said, you destroy them. He said, we'll find these pagan temples and we'll destroy them and burn them. Because we, if we're going to claim to be the people of the living God, we're going to live like the people of the living God. It transformed his life. It transformed the nation because they allow the Word of God to permeate. You see, if we're going to be God's people and believe in God and believe in His Word, we ought to live like it. That means we don't just bring our Bibles to church. We know what's in the book and we read the book and we study the book to learn what God would have us do and to find good success. That God wants to prosper us. God wants to bless us. And He gave us a very simple guide. Josiah had been doing some good things. He was honorable. But it was not until he heard the Word of God that he knew God's expectations and what God had wanted for him to be. My challenge to you today is simple. If you're going to claim to be a follower of Christ, claim to be a believer in Christ, live like it. That means you need to have His book, know His book, and obey His book. Not only will it honor Him, it'll keep you from messing up your life. I heard John Maxwell, who has written over 20 books on leadership and has held leadership conferences internationally. One day he was teaching on his 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. And someone said, Dr. Maxwell, could you tell us where you got all this information? Where did you get all this teaching that shows us how to lead? And he asked this question. He said, are you sure you want to know? Yes. Where did you get the information? Out of the Bible. He said, it's all there. Whatever you're facing to there, there's an answer here. Whatever struggle you're up in, whatever decision you're facing, it's in the book. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know if you observed this or not, but until I turned on that flashlight, I had no light. To walk around without knowing God's word is like having a flashlight and never turning it on. You're going to bump into a wall or something worse. Let me just encourage you. If you're in trouble, I'll counsel you. all day and all night if need be, but I would rather not. I would rather rejoice with you over your victories than have to cry with you over your failures. I would rather rejoice with you over a happy marriage than try to help you figure out how I can help y'all stay together. I would prefer to ask you, say, Pastor, come bless this home we've just purchased, than try to help you figure out where you're going to live next because you got evicted. God wants you to be successful. The answer's here. Would you stand with me for a second? Father God, in your presence, we know that we have failed so many times and that our life is not what it needs to be, and that you have given us a guide to guide us through this life. Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to be students of the Word. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you say, Pastor, I know I need to be more in the Word. Would you pray for me? And would you just, you slip your hand up and just write back down. Or the others, God bless you. Now I'm going to ask you, is there anything stopping you from beginning tonight? Out here on the information table, there are some daily devotional guides. You could pick up one of those. Or open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Read the first chapter today. No better time than the present to begin to let God's Word guide you in your life. Father God, we know you love us and we know you're there for us. Help us to be wise and know your Word. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.